tried to start you off. Okay. Spiritual gifts. I brought something with me for your viewing pleasure. This is from, all of this is from a church that I used to be part of or used to work with. This is a ministry assessment, ministry test, something that they use to, there's a lot of teaching in it, and then there's a lot of explanation about gifts. Now, the place that this that produces has since died spiritually. It's just a shell of what it used to be. Very sad. But what is the reason that most churches produce something like that? Okay, first of all, most of you have never seen something like this in the first place. Most times people don't even get taught when they go to churches. What you usually get on a Sunday is some guy will get up, read half a verse, slobber for 20 minutes on the microphone, and then, you know, and then try to get everybody into a frenzy right before the offering. You know, so it's like, you know, and get the quick, and the ushers come from the back. You know, and so you're not taught. We went through this in Ephesians 4. The role of people that have that responsibility is for the edifying of the church, for this, so that you all come into, you grow up basically. So if they're not fulfilling that, you should be careful. Some groups definitely do try to equip their people, but something like this, which there's good information in here, and if some of you want to borrow this, or you can, I only have one copy though, and I don't have any computer or electronic stuff, so if you borrow it, no problem, take a look at it, just get it back to me. But the reason that something like this is used is because they want you to be able to find your gifting so that you can find then where you fit inside the structure again of the building of the church. So again, it's insular, the ultimate focus. It's not so that you can get out and fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. It's so that now you know what it is that you can do to further this specific place than, and what they're doing right here inside this box. And usually it's the agenda of a pastor. So that's very dangerous. So it's, you have to be able to constantly sift. When information is presented to you, you should pray for discernment that God will be able to show you, okay, here's what I should receive and here's what I should weed out. But many times stuff like this is taught so that they can further their programs. And I have no program with you guys at all. I have nothing for you to do at all. With this though, is you were designed uniquely. You were designed individually. And it's important that you understand how God has made you and what He's made you and what He's equipped you to do. Because if you begin to understand that, it unlocks for you. First of all, you realize, wait, there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. I was designed by God like this for a reason. And it's a reason that He has in mind. And so you begin to allow for the manifestation of that in your life. So now this tool right here that was produced, this good information in here, but also there's a lot of it also is built on secular psychology, where that stuff was taken from Scripture. So the way that it went was some stuff was drawn out of Scripture, they took it into secular world, and then they grabbed it from the secular world and tried to bring it back in, because again they have worldly goals that they're trying to push. There is elements of personality for sure. Every single person has an individual personality, part of just the way that you're wired. So some people are morning people, some people are evening people. Some people seem like they're happy and chirpy all the time, and some people are just always serious and stern and just disciplined and to the fact. Some people are just artistic, and some people are just cut and dry, and everything is measured twice, cut once. God made you like that. God made you like that. And so it's part of it is understanding, okay, here's how I'm designed. Here's how God made me. And with the design that He made me in, okay, here's how I would operate, or here's how I would work with other people, or in the capacity that He might have for me. Okay, so point number one, everyone has gifts, abilities, strengths, talents. Everyone. Not a person alive born into this world does not have giftings. That does not have stuff that they were born with that they're uniquely able to do. So, now, people may not recognize it. You may not recognize it. It may not have, you may not have sometimes the ability to access it, because maybe by sheer, for example, India, the entire IT boom in India, all those brains were still there before the internet came along 20 years ago. But what happened with the internet being introduced to India was all of a sudden they could access a man-made brain-powered industry, and all these guys could be put to work and could do something with this minds that they had there. It worked very well for that, but it was just the opportunity wasn't presented for them to be able to access that as a nation. So I'm just saying that like sometimes you may have things that are just there, but you just haven't had the opportunity, or something hasn't come up where those could come forward. Okay. But now, bringing it back to it, so everyone has gifts, abilities, strengths, talents, you do. But for what you have, as a follower of Christ, you must understand this, that what you have, it needs those gifts, abilities, strengths, and talents, they need to be touched by the power of God to be activated properly. So, it's like a light being plugged in, or any electrical device. So you have a blender, you have a toaster, you have a electric stove, you have all these different things that will help you make a fantastic meal. But all of them need to be plugged into the source in order for them to be able to be activated and to do what they're made to do. So we have to be plugged into the source, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, in order for us to be activated to accomplish and to do what God has done, what God wants for us to do. So, and once you're plugged in, you move from natural ability to supernatural operation. So that's the difference. When the abilities that you have, the giftings that you have, when they're empowered by the Spirit of God, versus you working in them in just the limited operation that you have. Now, the world, and let me just make a little divide here, the world also seeks to empower people's gifts. The world also seeks to take gifts that people have and have them be empowered by demonic operations, by demonic empowerment. So, music is a prime example. There are people that have exceptional talent as musicians, or they may even have mediocre talent as musicians. But the world, what it does, and many times what happens with musicians, they give their allegiance over to the world, they sell their soul to get up on the stage, and then demonic forces, because they open themselves up for demonic indwelling, demonic spirits with come and empower those gifts that they have, and all of a sudden this guy is a fantastic guitarist. And there's a spirit behind the music that draws, and people are like, whoa, wow, that guy really can play good. Or when they sing, just, you know, it's like there's just something that draws there. Why? Because there's an empowering there. There's a spiritual energy that's going along with what's happening there on another dimension that you can't see with your natural eyes. all the way back to an earlier lesson again, you know, the dimension of spirit is the one that's real. The dimension of spirit is the one that's lasting. The three-dimensional world is a very base reality. Okay, let's do some scripture here. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I want to go back to an early example. And I want to read through for a little ways. I'm just going to read. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flocks of Jethro his father, the priest of Midian. He led the flocks to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush would not consume. And Moses said, I will, Exodus chapter 3, and I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And God said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt. Okay, first of all, Moses is about to have an encounter with God. So, now, and something's about to happen, and he's about to take another shift in his life. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason for their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto a good land, and enlarge unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, they shall say unto me, What is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, into a land flowing with milk and honey. And then shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And when I give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewelry of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Okay. Moses here has an encounter with the Father. Now, where's he been for the last 40 years? He's been in the desert with a bunch of sheep. And he's 80 years old, and at that point, boy, life has passed me by. Yeah. I'm ready to die. I'm done. It's over. It's pretty much done. This is the existence that I will have. Now, but God had put something in Moses even earlier on. He said that when in verse 13 said that when I come out, oh wait, verse 11. Wait, no, hold on. It says that verse 11 says that Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I go unto Pharaoh and should bring forth the children of Israel?" Basically, but he also said that, you know, they're not going to believe me. You know, that God that you sent me. And the reason that he said this too is because even earlier on, flip back to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, chapter 2 verse 11 says, "When it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. He looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went down the second day, behold, two of the men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, 'Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?' And he said, 'Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intended thou to kill me as thou killeth the Egyptian?' And Moses feared and said, 'Surely this thing is known.' And when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." So Moses knew that they're not going to listen to him once. So last time he went down and he said, "Hey, wait a second, what are you doing?" Or he tried to deliver them even by his own hand. There's an oppressor about hurting one of his countrymen. And so his realization is, wait, these guys won't listen to me. And so he comes with that context, that being stuck in the back of his head for 40 years, now into the presence of God. And God says, "All right, I want to send you back to deliver your people, and I'm going to give you the word to speak to them." Both cases, it's like, wait a second, they won't listen to me, and I already tried that done once, and I already been there, done that, didn't work. Thank you, God, very much. Don't you have somebody else? But the difference here, but God is selecting. Moses is a type for a lot of things. But it's also an example to us of just, all right, all of us are at rock bottom, you know, if we're honest about it, outside of God. And he takes him, and from this into chapter 4, you see the empowering that takes place with God in his life so that he is able to go back and the task be accomplished that God appoints for him. Chapter 4 verse 1 says, "And Moses answered and said, 'But behold thou,'" oh here it is, "'but behold they will not believe me.'" Yeah, of course, they already tried that. "Not, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, 'What is that in thy hand?' And he said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail.' And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." Now, symbolism overlaying, there's several things happening here. One of them is Moses, or Pharaoh, was the he had the authority. He was his rulership over the children of Israel had turned into the oppression of, you know, a serpent. So there's a symbolism there, but also the rod itself was a symbol of the last thing that Moses trusted in, which was his ability to herd a few sheep. So everything else had failed. Can't do anything else. Well, at least I can take care of a few sheep here and wait to die. And God says, all right, I want you to throw this down. And when he does that, and it changes, he runs from it. And he runs from that last representation of his identity and who he was. But God then turns him around and says, look, I want you to pick it up. When he goes and picks it up, it changes back. There's, go to verse 20 of the same chapter, chapter 4. Verse 20 says, and Moses took his wife, his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. From that point onward, this thing was known as the rod of God, or the staff of God. It was no longer Moses' staff, it was the staff of God. Because from that point onward, there was an empowering that had been placed in Moses for the task at hand. And this rod was a representation of that, a physical representation. So you see throughout, when you keep reading the story, the staff of God, the staff of God, the rod of God, the rod of God. Because now there's been an encounter with the Spirit of God that has empowered it. So the world, now again, when Moses had the encounter with the magicians and all of that, and they have an empowering, but even there was the point where Moses' rod ain't theirs. You know, their miracles were limited. There's always, with the sorcerers and the incantations and all of these sastakaris and everything like that, all those empowerings that their giftings have, they still have limitations because the power of the enemy is limited. God's power will always trump them. But you have to be in connection to Him. So, that one thing Moses knew was the limitations of his own abilities. Now, the giftings that were given, why were they given? They weren't given so Moses could make a show and so that he could feel good about himself and have a late life, you know, rejuvenation. Chapter verse 7 said, the Lord said, I have seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. God blesses you to make you a blessing. Throughout Scripture, this is the case. When God blesses you, when He empowers you, when He does something with you, the reason for it is to make you a blessing so that He can also work in and through you. So you yourself are blessed, but it's not for you. It pours through you. Freely you receive, freely give. That's the purpose of it. So God will empower you for, again, assignments and for things that He has. For the adventure that you're on, God empowers you for it. So many times what happens is people, they get obsessed with gifts or understanding them, but what's the reason? Again, it's still all about them. And so they miss the point even there. And so many times nothing even happens. I the pastor that gave me this, he told me that he had a lot of people take this course. And I think the one he had, this one set, there's just this one batch that had come through, and he had 30 people take it. And he said after that, all these people were into it, they all loved it. They all knew they knew what their talents and abilities and all that were, but only one person ever did anything with it. See, most people want to know the will of God for their life so they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. And so you have to, again, come before God in honesty and say, Lord, I want to know what it is that you have done and what you're doing and what you're equipping me for, but do that because, again, you want to move into the purpose and the assignment that He has for you. Because otherwise it's dangerous too. If you know the will of God, like Audrey said earlier, if you know what you're supposed to do and you turn away from that, you're responsible for that as well. So, I would rather know what's going on and move with that. Okay. So, five more minutes. Okay. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. I'm just going to give you an overview of a couple of things. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 talked about when Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the outermost parts of the earth." Okay. The way is made in Christ for the Holy Spirit to reside in you. And so when the Holy Spirit empowers you, that baptism and that empowering, there's an activation that happens as well of the gifts that you have in you. Now, I want to make a distinction between giftings. There's an activation and an empowering of the natural giftings that you have, and there's a difference between that and also God giving you new gifts that are given, giftings that are designed by the and distributed by the decision of the Holy Spirit. So those are two different things. So one is you have natural inbuilt abilities, talents, skills that are there. The other is the Spirit of God chooses to gift you with something. So those you see that in Scripture. So don't confuse the two. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll give you some homework for now and the next time. You can just jot these scriptures down and we can go through them a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 onwards. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 onwards. Just write by the side of it, write the word perfecting gifts. And then read through that and see what God speaks to you about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12,1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. On the side of that, write the word... verse 4 through 11. Write the word protectional gifts. Okay. I'll go through them one more time. And then one more is Romans chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. Write functional gifts.
Functional.
And now this is just, I'm just going over this one way that I had been taught this. Chapter 12, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11 is protectional. Perfecting is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. And you can also jot down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, which is kind of some overlap between some systems there in the body of Christ. Now, I don't know how much depth we'll be able to go into all of this, or because this stuff is like, you know, you can go into the background and there's some you can just spend, you can spend 6 months trying to figure out your giftings and all of that. But the quickest way is to ask the Spirit of God, "God, how have you made me? You know, God, what is it that you've given me? And Lord, what is it that you would have for me to ask of you?" So like scriptures tell us in James that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously without finding fault. So there's many things. It's just like, look, all you got to do is ask me. I'm happy to give it to you. When I was a kid, I saw that in the scriptures. It said, "God, I am not a smart person. I need you to give me some wisdom." Because I saw that. I saw that in the scriptures. I was like, "Look, God, you said I can ask you for this. I'm asking you for this. I need wisdom." And He gave me something. I didn't have it. I'm lacking that. That's okay. Ask. There's things in the scriptures. There's things in the Word where God encourages us to ask, to seek Him, and he does that work in us. It's a work of the Spirit, so He's constantly transforming and remaking His bride into what He wants. So have a little bit of reading between now and next time. Maybe we'll open it up with a little bit of questions at the start, but then, you know, we'll try to get into this and see how much headway we can make in a few weeks. Okay. So but ultimately our desire is to see that you know more about how God has made you, uniquely designed you, and then you are, you have the assurance, because that spirit is now linked also with some knowledge along the same lines, so that you can move into what God's called for you to be and for what He has for you to do, because He does have stuff for you, assignments that in doing them there's a fulfillment that comes. So we'll stop there for today. We'll just pray and close it out. Okay. Father God, we thank You, Lord, so much for this evening. Lord, we thank You for the work of Your Spirit. And Lord, we just thank You, Lord God, that even for the chance to look into, Lord God, the gifts of Your Spirit and Lord, what it is that You have done and offered and given to us, Lord. And so we just pray, Father, for these next few weeks, Lord God, just that You would lead and guide the time, Father, that You would open up the Scriptures to us, Lord, and that You would speak to us throughout the weeks, Lord, not just on these Wednesdays, Father, but just that You would be encouraging and working, Lord, in each person, even as they're seeking You, Lord God, for Your plan and purpose for them, Lord God, in this world, in this time. So, Lord, we just bless Your holy name this day. We thank You so much for Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher, Lord, of our faith. So, Lord, we entrust ourselves to You. Lord, we pray for everybody that can't be here this evening. We just pray, Lord, that if they're not well, Lord, that You would heal them, Lord, that You would restore them to good health. And, Lord, that for those that are traveling, that You would give them safe travel. Lord, that You would keep them, Father God, even as they go to and fro. And, Lord, just for all of us here, Lord God, that You would complete the work in us, Lord, that You have begun. And, Lord, that our lives, Lord, would be protected, Lord God, and empowered and blessed by Your Spirit, that You would bless us, Lord, to make us a blessing in this nation. So thank You, Lord, so much for all that You are doing, and we commit ourselves into the trust of Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.